Turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read together. In Matthew chapter 26, we shall read again at verse 26. Matthew chapter 26, at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and so on. And with the Lord's help, we would like to consider these several verses. And if there are any in particular that we would focus on, it would be verses 27 and 28. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." As the Lord's Supper is soon to be observed in this place, we would like to consider the meaning of this ordinance, this sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And we would try to consider that it teaches us especially about the sacrifice of Christ and the forgiveness of sins. It is by his blood that we are cleansed from the guilt of sin. As we considered on Sabbath morning, one of the soldiers pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. He came not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the blood that cleanseth us from all sin. It is through his blood, the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The Lord Jesus tells his disciples to drink of the cup, but all of them would drink of it. For it is his blood of the New Testament which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Friend, do you belong to this many? Are your sins forgiven? Christ gave his life a ransom for many. And will you exclude yourself from that multitude which no man can number? May the Holy Spirit lead you and all of us to the Savior of sinners. Friend, come to the Savior. Come, for yet there is room. Submit to his righteousness. He that believeth on him is not condemned. The Savior tells you tonight, again, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." As we look at the words before us, it would be helpful to refresh our minds as to the answer given by the Shorter Catechism. What is the Lord's Supper? I was once staying in the Stornoway Manse in Scotland during a communion season, and I asked the minister if he could recommend a book or some reading about the Lord's Supper. And he immediately replied, "Read the Shorter Catechism." The Catechism, of course, is not exactly a book, but sometimes it's best to get started by thinking on this wonderful and solemn subject by looking at the Shorter Catechism as a help, because the Catechism presents to us the essential aspects of the Lord's Supper. So as we consider the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Savior on this occasion with his disciples, he institutes the Lord's Supper. Let us look at the Catechism as a little guide as we consider this subject. What is the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is a sacrament wherein, by giving and receiving bread and wine, according to Christ's appointment, his death is showed forth. And the worthy receivers are not after a corporal and carnal manner, but by faith made partakers of his body and blood, with all his benefits to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. We read, "And as they were eating," verse 26, "Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body." So this is the night that the Lord Jesus was going to be betrayed, and he appoints this ordinance to be observed in his church. It is a sacrament, which is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein by sensible signs, Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed, and applied to believers. And you notice that it is while they were eating that he appoints this sacrament. He takes the bread and blesses it as they were eating. What were they doing? They were celebrating the Passover. And the Gospel of Luke tells us it was, the Savior said it was the last Passover he would have with them. "With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And again, Paul receives from the Lord himself this revelation of the institution of the Lord's Supper. "For I have received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you." So it is the appointment of Christ at the time of the Passover. And what is brought before us are the sacramental elements and actions. Of course, the elements are what? The bread and the wine. And the actions are the taking the bread, breaking it, distributing it, and receiving it. So by giving and receiving bread and wine, this is involved in the sacrament. Well, Jesus took bread, we read, and blessed it. And this is what the minister is to do, to take the bread, to bless it, that is to ask God's blessing upon it. And we read that he gave it to the disciples. So here's the giving, by giving and receiving bread and wine. So Christ gives and his disciples receive. He says, "Take," and they take, and they eat. So giving and receiving bread and wine according to Christ's appointment. And the Lord Jesus tells us, "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." And this reminds us again that salvation is God's doing. Salvation is of the Lord. Naturally, we would like to rely upon something that we can do. The religion of the natural man is based upon works. But the Apostle says that though we are saved with a holy calling, it is not according to our works. Salvation is given. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. By giving, the giving is on Christ's part, the receiving is on our part. And we are to receive, to take to ourselves Christ and him crucified and all his benefits. Take, eat, this is my body. So, what takes place in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? Well, as you know, it is a commemoration. It is a showing forth of the death of Christ. By giving and receiving bread and wine according to Christ's appointment, his death is showed forth. He says, this is my body. And he is saying the bread is his body, but not literally. If someone were to take a photograph and say, this is John, you wouldn't think that he's saying this photograph is John himself. He means it is a picture of John. The Lord Jesus is saying to us, this is the symbol of his body. Take, eat. He distributes the bread, he gives the bread to them, and he says, take, eat, this is my body. So, the bread is the symbol of Christ's body. It is a sign, in other words. That's what a sacrament is. A sacrament is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein by sensible signs, signs that we can sense, we can see with our own eyes and feel with our own hands. So it is a sign because it represents. It's a sign of the body of Christ. It tells us about Christ and his flesh that was rent, his body that was broken. But not only is it a sign in the sense that it points to a certain thing and it represents a certain thing, it's not a mere symbol. It is a sacrament. And it's a sign in the sense that it is the instrument of communicating grace. Because Christ has appointed it to be that specific means by which we receive grace. It's a sign not just in that it's a symbol. It's a sign because it's an instrument by which we receive grace. So for those who rightly receive the sacrament, who properly observe the Lord's Supper, they're doing it by faith. And as they receive the bread into their mouth, they receive Christ by faith into their souls. So, it's a sign in that it shows forth the death of Christ. We weren't intending to be complicated tonight. We know that it's good for us to meditate upon the sufferings of Christ. And the sacrament being a sign of the body and blood of Christ, it would do us good to think about the broken body and the shed blood of the Savior. To think about the Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he sweat great drops of blood, when he cried, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And we can ask, what was he seeing in the cup? He was seeing that which awaited him. He was seeing the sin of his people that was imputed to him. He was seeing the wrath of God that would be poured out upon him due to his people's sin, and yet he took their place and became responsible for the punishment they deserve. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then he was arrested, being betrayed by one of his own disciples, and he was tried, and false witnesses came, but witnesses could not agree. And he confesses that he is the Son of God, and he is brought before Pilate, and he says, what accusation do you bring against this man? I find no fault in him. But they cry out, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate scourges him. But this would not pacify the Jews. They desire nothing less than his death. They killed the Prince of Life. He was pierced in his hands and his feet. His body was broken. His blood was shed. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And this is the prophecy that the Savior himself tells the disciples. As we read in verse 31, Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. He was betrayed by one of his own disciples. He was denied by another. They all forsook him. But Christ was not left alone. The Father did not leave him alone. He upheld him, and yet we know that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And the Savior cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He poured out his soul unto death. He gave his life a ransom for many. And his blood was shed. His blood was shed for the remission of sins. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. And all of his disciples were directed to drink of the cup. No one of his people are excluded from receiving Christ and the benefits of the covenant of grace and the sign and seal of the covenant. He says, For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. What a wonder that is, that even though he knew that they would all be offended, yet he gives every one of them to drink of the cup for their good. He calls it the New Testament. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Well, think about the New Testament, or New Covenant, as it can be translated. Remember, God made a covenant with Abraham. He said, I will be a God unto thee and to thy seed. And that's, as it were, the charter of the visible church. It's the revelation or manifestation of God's covenant with his people. He will be their God. And if God is our God, we have all that we need, both for time and for eternity. Well, after the death of Christ, there would be a new administration of the covenant. A new era in the church would begin. And the way in which the blessings were conveyed would become more simple. And it would be through the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Though they are fewer in number, yet the covenant and the grace of the covenant is held out to us in more fullness and efficacy or life-giving power. There's a greater measure of the Spirit in the New Testament era, the New Testament dispensation, the time, in fact, in which we live. Are we praying that God would pour out His Spirit? Well, there was a great manifestation of the grace of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost and thereafter. Well, here the Savior is speaking about the New Testament or the New Covenant. It was ratified in His blood when He died. That was the ushering in of the new dispensation of the covenant of grace. The same covenant that God made with Abraham to be a God to His people and to His children, to their children. The same covenant is made with us, but here's a new administration of it, a new way of communicating to us the blessings. Nevertheless, the covenant, its blessings are secured by the blood. The covenant blessings, forgiveness of sins, grace, adoption, power from above, all of these blessings that we need are secured, they are purchased by the blood of Christ. And he tells us, For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The cup represents the blood. The cup of wine represents the blood of Christ, and the blood of Christ secures to us the blessings, yes, the forgiveness of sins. What does remission mean? The remission of sins? Well, it's just another word for forgiveness. It can easily be translated forgiveness. In the original, it means release. Like someone is bound in chains, well, there is a release. Our sins are bound to us, there's a release. They are remitted. The sins are literally sent away. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Is this not what you and I need? We stand in need of the forgiveness of sins. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we understand that not only is it a sign, but it is a seal of the covenant of grace, a seal of the blessings of the covenant, a seal of the forgiveness of sins. A seal is a confirmation. What a privilege it is for God's people to observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The forgiveness of sins is confirmed to them. And who would willingly slight such a privilege to have the forgiveness of sins confirmed to us? Should we not seek this assurance with all our heart? In the sacrament, the Lord is pleased to condescend and grant His presence. And how we should be praying, "Lift up the light of Thy countenance upon us. Grant Thy presence, grant the assurance of the forgiveness of sins." Well, who are they who have a share in this blessing? Who receive this provision of the forgiveness of sins? Believers do. Forgiveness is enjoyed by believers. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And only believers should partake of the sacrament. Only believers, those who are looking to Jesus, only they should come to the Lord's Supper. And why is that? Because if they are not receiving Christ and they sit at the Lord's table, what are they doing? They are receiving the sign, but not the thing signified. They're receiving just bread. They're not receiving Christ. That's an absurdity. Why should they do it? Why would you want to do that? Receive a bit of bread, but not the thing that it represents? Not receive Christ? So the Lord's Supper is for believers. And so all of us should be asking God, crying out to God for faith that we might receive this gift and truly receive Christ Himself. And that is what is meant by worthily partaking of the Lord's Supper. To receive it in a suitable way. Not in a way of merit. We are not worthy in that sense because we have earned a right to sit at the table. What is required to the worthy receiving of the Lord's Supper? The Shorter Catechism asks, it is required of them that would worthily partake of the Lord's Supper that they examine themselves, of their knowledge to discern the Lord's body, of their faith to feed upon Him, of their repentance, love, and new obedience, lest, coming unworthily, they eat and drink judgment to themselves. And to come unworthily is to come in an irreverent spirit, not recognizing the solemnity of it, and not careful to benefit from it. So we should seek to be prepared by recognizing what the sacrament represents and to realize that it is for those who have a desire to be found in Christ. Do we have a desire to be found in Christ? So briefly, to sum up the catechism, it is not a, and this is an important point for children to realize, that receiving Christ crucified into our souls and feeding upon Him by faith is not a literal thing. We don't truly feed upon Christ's body into our mouths. It is a spiritual thing. We receive Christ into our souls. It is a life-giving power that comes into our hearts. Power and strength comes into our hearts when we rightly partake of the Lord's Supper. And what is the result of it? Well, we are fed, we are nourished, we are strengthened. It is to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. Well, the Savior says to His disciples, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." What do these words mean? What is the Savior telling us? I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The simplest explanation of these words is that the Jewish Passover was to be forever replaced by the Lord's Supper as a Christian ordinance. That's the simplest explanation. The Passover is being replaced by the Lord's Supper. But the fullest sense of these words, the fullest meaning of these words, are applied to the celestial kingdom, the kingdom of God in heaven, the consummation of the kingdom of God, heaven itself. The wine, even in the Lord's Supper, will give place to the wine, the new wine in heaven. And that is the rivers of pleasures that Christ will give His people to drink. Psalm 16, verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." How wonderful it is for God's people to think that as they are in this wilderness journey, surrounded by enemies, the Lord prepares them a table in the wilderness, in the presence of their foes. This is the table of the Lord, and it's a pledge of the eternal feast that God's people will enjoy with Christ when they are literally with Him in glory, and they will experience communion with Him. They will enjoy fellowship with Him in the highest degree, without any interruption. They will be made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. "And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." And in the meantime, how thankful we should be for the Lord's Supper, and how we should be preparing for it, asking for that preparation of the heart that is from the Lord, praying for faith itself, praying to be led to Christ. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. How thankful we should be for the cleansing that is by the blood of Jesus. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." May He bless His word. Let us pray. Mr. De Bruin, would you pray?